So you're the gentleman are in the saloon bar, the favor. A waitress comes over. She's dressed formally in black with a white collar and a white pinafore. And she has sharp features and kind of pointy ears. And you notice that she has a. Oh, there we go. I'll stop there because we're welcoming our lucky last.
Yay!
Who's not Bean?
Bean for now.
Sean Bean. It's okay, he'll die shortly.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Not that... a rogue this time, he's fine.
Sean Bean still dies.
Okay. Sean Bean always dies.
If you can name one movie he hasn't, I'll give you a dollar.
Oh damn it, I was watching one the other day and he didn't die and I can't remember what it was. It's like a family movie or something.
I'm sure he still died in spirit.
Oh, no. Damn you, Stuart, and prick back your ears, because I'm going to name a movie in which Sean Bean does not die. Ready? National Treasure with Nicolas Cage. He gets sent to jail, but he doesn't die.
He dies in prison off screen.
No. You, sir, owe me a dollar of your money. Because he does not die on screen. So, thank you.
He also doesn't die in Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, of course, he's in that crappy old film as well. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to keep going because Bean's hopefully joining us relatively
soon. She changed the name.
Yeah, I'm here. I just don't want the camera on right now. I'm still setting things up.
That's fine. I'm glad I didn't say anything about it with your audio on and I couldn't see it. I'm a consummate professional. Okay, I would basically you guys have gone to the Fayvere. You've all been invited by letter to go. And the gentlemen are in the saloon bar. The ladies amongst you are in the ladies' bar, the ladies' bar, which is part of the same building but segregated. I was just describing a waitress had gone up to the gentleman folk. She's tallish, slim, angular features, pointy ears, and she has a rather elegant set of wings behind her, kind of folded down. And she looks at you and decides not to speak to Igbo, but addresses Carswell, and it says, oh, welcome, gentlemen, to Le Favre. I'm going to make the assumption you haven't been here before. Is that correct?
No, for myself, no. Well, thank you.
Okay, and Gregor says, no, I have not been here. That's my accent, by the way. So that's what it gets. And she'll take Igbo's silence as an acknowledgement.
As I was ignored by her, I'm ignoring her.
That's fine. She will literally lose zero sleep over that. She says, very well. Well, this is an absinthe lounge, and the drinks we offer this evening are absinthe. And I will bring over the apparatus, and I will show you how to drink like gentlemen. And she walks away. Do you wish to have a discussion before she comes back? No? Okay, that's cool. we're a social bunch. That's men for you. And she comes back and she has a waiter with her who appears to be elven. And they place in front of you, it's quite a tall apparatus on copper legs. And it's like it's a cylindrical water tank with lots of ice cubes in it. And at the bottom of the water tank there's six spigots that come out with small little taps. And she places three glasses. And they look, I suppose, a bit like a flower in the fact that they got kind of a bulbous round part at the bottom and it flares up like a daffodil at the top. She then produces a bottle of green liquid and fills up the round part of each glass and places atop the glass a silver spoon with slots in it and a sugar cube. Once she's done that three times, she passes one to Igbo, one to Gregor, and one to Carswell. And she says, when you are ready to drink the drink, what you do is you place the glass under the spigot, and she places an empty glass underneath one of the spigots, and you just open the tap, and you can see once she opens the tap, water drips through, it's not a steady stream. It just drips through quite consistently. And she says, once you have finished with as much water as you want, you turn the tap off and you enjoy your drink. The sugar is to dissolve into the drink. Otherwise, it is very bitter. You have not drunk absinthe before. I may recommend mainly have it with more water than not, and sip it. Do not drink it too fast. I will leave you and you can enjoy your evening. Thank you. And the waiter and the waitress disappear. You all have your drinks in front of you. I will now just quickly go to the ladies' lounge. The ladies' lounge is beautiful. It's got lovely flocked wallpaper. There's thick pile rugs on the floor. The building is lit internally with gas lamps, and it's quite bright. And there is, for the want of a better description, there's a lovely tea service in front of you. And a gentleman comes over. He's human, quite young, dark-skinned. He says, welcome, ladies. And he kind of, his eyes lingered just a fraction too comfortably long on the dwarf, and then moves back. And then I said, would you like me to serve you tea?
Yes, please.
Awesome tea cup.
Very good. And he, by the way, people joining us for the first time, D&D is not just about drinking tea. I will just point that out now. This is just part of, I am setting the scene. Or am I? I'm just living out my fantasy of drinking tea in a posh place.
Can I request an oolong tea, please?
You can request it, but we do not have it. Huh? And he just pours you some fine Edisonian leaf tea. It's not from Edisonia, but you know. And he pours out a cup each and he says, the milk is here, or the cream, and there are sugar lumps in the bowl. Please, you may help yourselves, ladies. You are not as helpless as people may think you are. And with that, he bows very slightly and he leaves you to enjoy your cup of tea. Would the ladies like to discuss anything before I head back?
Okay, so I pick up my teacup, take it like a shot, and then put it down, and then go, it's very weak. Like, and I thought it would be green.
Song is just slowly tipping like more and more cream into her tea.
It's just a cup of cream.
I have no cream, no sugar. I was just like straight.
Wow, you took your tea straight.
Yeah, yes.
Hardcore.
Great.
All right.
Her mind, she's come into a bar. She thinks this is alcoholic, but she's surprised how gentle it is.
Okay, yeah, I can see where you might, yeah, okay. I shall rejoin the men. Have you all started drinking? I know Gregor has. Have you started sipping your drink in front of you?
Yes.
Oh yes. I'm hoping to see this supposed green fairy.
Okay. All right. No worries. Okay. So as you're sipping your drink, a human, probably in his mid to late 50s, walks up to the table. He's dressed rather smartly, if not somewhat formally. He's wearing a chocolatey brown suit. He's got a waistcoat and a bow tie, and he wears a brown derby on his head, or a bowler hat for those who wish. He says, you've arrived. I apologize for being a bit late. There was a bit of a flapdoodle and kerfuffle on the street on my way here, and it kind of held me back a bit. I do apologize. You won't know me, but I am the author of the letters and the invitations you've received. And he sort of has a look. He says, I kind of thought there would be more of you.
We were separated at the door.
Yes, the ladies have gone to their area.
And he puts his hand to his mouth. Oh, of course, I should have remembered. Wait here. And between the saloon and the ladies' lounge is actually a door. And he kind of opens the door. And on the other side of the door, there's an employee of Le Favre, who's presumably his only job is to make sure that ladies don't stray into the rough and dangerous world of a gentleman's saloon bar. The gentleman in the brown suit whispers in the ear, and the gentleman steps aside and nods. And the gentleman now presents himself at the ladies' table. Oh, ladies, I do hope you're enjoying your drink. I'm the author of the invitations that you may have received in the mail. I do apologize for the mix-up. There shouldn't have been a bit of, you know, this kind of moving you to a different room. If you'd like to go through, we'll collect the gentleman on the way and we'll head up the flight of stairs and go to room number 4, if you don't mind.
Is there like a sandwiches or anything that came with the tea service?
Oh, well, no, there isn't, but you can certainly feel free to ask the gentleman that's now in front of you who appears to have arranged this meeting.
Oh, no, okay. I just take 2 cubes of sugar, pop it in my mouth as I walk along.
Yeah, the human in the brown suit nervously laughs as he sees you do this. come on, come this way. And you walk back through the room. The gentleman in the ladies' lounge shuts the door behind you.
Except I'm going to ask for high tea, since that's what I was expecting if I'm coming into this side of the room.
It doesn't quite work like that, but you mustn't linger here too long. This is a gentleman's saloon bar, and it's not for the faint of vapours like ladies. And he presents at the men's table, says, I have found your chums. Let's go upstairs. We have a room booked at room number 4. If you'd like to follow me up the stairs. And there's this wrought iron spiral staircase that he starts to proceed up.
I kind of cringe when I walk up the metal iron staircase.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Do I see into the room? Can I tell that there's liquor on the tables in the men's section?
Oh, yeah, there's a very extravagant kind of bar behind where it's like 5 or 6 shelves just of beautifully coloured crystal bottles and liquids. Okay. And you can smell it. You're a dwarf. You can smell booze a mile off.
Good to know. Okay.
Yeah. And you walk along a lovely carpeted hallway on the first floor, or the second floor if you're American, and you proceed down, you go past, on your left-hand side, there's room number 1, number 2, number 3, and at room number 4 is a beautiful mahogany door with gold leaf number, which says number 4, and he opens the nicely polished brass knob, and inside is a very extravagant kind of room. Beautiful wood inlay, nice carpet, very well kept and well maintained. And there's a nice large table. In the middle of the table, there's some food. There's roast chicken and potatoes and some salad and sandwiches. It's a pretty nice buffet, to be honest. The human in the brown suit gestures you to go through. He'll follow you in.
I'm going to swish in because that's what ladies in walking dresses do. So I'm going to swish into the room and loudly declare, don't mind if I do, and start picking delicately at the servings on the table.
Yes, please help yourself. There were plates and there were the proper cutlery down there. It's just a light snack, so you don't need to, set the table up formally. And ladies, relax. You don't have to serve anyone tonight. You can serve yourselves and the men can probably manage. I can get a serving girl to come in if not.
I'm already walking over. I'm piling a plate and finding a spot that looks comfortable to me.
Yep. Well, there's some nice padded chairs around this table. So that's.
I will curl up with my legs under me on one of those padded chairs.
Okay, cool. The gentleman, before he shuts the door, just kind of. He's inside the room and he's looking at you, but his right hand goes behind him and he goes. And next to no time, there's a serving girl. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to give your drinks order to this serving girl.
3 fairies, please.
Sorry?
3 fairies. I have 3.
Okay, right. Okay, that's fine. Give her 1. I would advise the gentleman, did you finish your fairies from before?
He's
using your term.
Yes.
All right. You're welcome to order whatever you like, but obviously I would advise against another fairy, just in case. It can creep up on you, as they say.
Mug of any kind of beer, please.
Well, I'm not sure they serve mugs, but we can get a nice glass of beer for you, I'm sure.
Anything.
Very good, very good.
Neat brandy, please.
Okay, well, we can do a balloon of brandy for you. That's fine. Yes, and maybe the delectable Song of the River.
Oh, just some cream, please.
You seem to have a thing with cream lady.
I was going to ask for milk, so you've kind of stuffed that over.
Oh, I'll have what she's having then.
Okay. I whispered
to Gregor, women.
Hello, what is this with milk and cream? It's the same thing. It's for peasants. Okay. I have beer too. I have beer. And the serving girl is frantically writing all this down and looking increasingly confused. So that's one fairy, two beers, a brandy, and some Hilo in a jug. For Timber.
Timber would probably still just be looking at the green drink, sniffing it, just still kind of unsure if he wants to, just kind of sticking out his tongue, just wanting to like, just kind of wants to taste it, kind of doesn't want to drink it because he knows it's probably a bad idea.
Okay. And the gentleman in the brown suit says to Timber, you can take your time, she'll be back, don't worry.
Okay.
I turn to Timber and I go, if you don't like it, I'll have yours.
Oh, they're going to get messy. Okay, that's cool. And the serving girl disappears. The gentleman closes the door and he takes a seat at the chair nearest the door. And he says, well, while you're eating and drinking, maybe it's good if we get down to business. I've obviously called you here for a reason. Once my business is done, you can take as long as you like and order as many drinks and more food if you wish. You don't have to worry about the bill. That's already taken care of. I'll introduce myself. My name is Wilkins, or you may address me as Wilkins. And I've been asked to gather you here today on behalf of my master. He's looking for a group of... I do so hate to use the word adventurers. That's all rather down at heel. Some independently motivated people that would appreciate being paid in return for a service of...
money!
What?
Yes. Money! I heard the word money.
Oh, yes. Well, obviously, let's not forget that drinks and food also cost money as well, as does renting this room.
And who is your master?
Well, if you'd allow me to get to the end of my little spiel, I'll tell you. My master is, you think you'd know this really, Professor Emmett Langstrom. And he's very keen to employ your services. Now, I can't say too much for why he wants you or what he wants you to do, because the main point of gathering you here tonight is for him to invite you to attend his residence. And that will be tomorrow evening, where he will set out the terms and conditions of what he wants to hire you for. He's heard many good things about your camaraderie and your togetherness and maybe your willingness to kind of overlook some of the more stuffy and inconvenient laws and rules of this city and this country and maybe this world. So the point is, he would like to see you. There is money involved, so don't worry, Sir Knights a lot. Money is not an issue for him, within reason, of course. But yes, he wants me really just to gather you. And as he's saying that, there's a rap on the door. And it's actually one of the waiters comes in. He has a tray of alcoholic drinks and breakfast cereal accompaniments. And he hands one to each of you. You suspect that he deliberately confuses Song's cream for Anais's milk, so he gives them to the wrong people. And he also hands over a small piece of paper to Wilkins. Wilkins reads it. Oh, okay. Well, as it turns out, I mean, feel free to enjoy your food and your drink. It's already paid for, as I think I may have mentioned. But Professor Langstrom would actually be curious to know whether you could attend his residence this evening. Unless you have other plans, of course.
I heard the word money, so I'm good.
Yes, I think I've noted your motivation and it's laudable, if not slightly derivative.
Through a full mouth of food, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Excellent. Yes, good. Is there anybody here that's not willing to go tonight?
I'm probably going to reply with that is a rather extreme situation to be inviting. Some of us have employers already, and it's unconscionable that you would rouse a guest to an event without proper preparation or time.
My goodness, the lady has some moxie about her.
Lady is well informed.
Well, I'm not sure I'm quite used in my station to be spoken to in such a way, but I hear what you're saying. And
someone's station is lower than mine. Would you like to readjust?
Well, unless you're paying my wage, then I would assume that your station is no higher than mine.
I could afford to pay your wage, but moving on.
Yes. I'm a what, sorry? I'm a waiter. Is that what you said? Do I look like a waiter?
She can afford to pay your wage, not you're a waiter.
Oh, okay. Well, very well. I'm assuming the waiter's gone by this stage. It's not the waiter talking to you, so.
I just thought you were talking to walls then. That was a little strange.
No. Well, as you know, we live in a dynamic society, madam, and sometimes things change. And when things change, we sometimes have to make alternative arrangements. I'm sure this is not a new concept to you, but if it is, maybe we can make another date, another time for you where we can maybe explain it to you in simple terms, because you were late.
I'll come, just as long as you know your place.
Yes, thank you, madam. Okay, very well. Well, look, as I say, you will need to, this is where I share the screen again. Okay. So, I shall... Oh, the joys of technology. There we go. Now, let me see if I can zoom out by using the... Oh, come on.
Loading.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, I shall go to Plan B, which is just a static photo of the city.
And verbally describe what's happening.
To a greater or lesser extent, yeah. So he says, look, please, as I say, feel free to finish. The hour of the day that you visit is of no mind to my employer. He works mostly through the night anyway. If you head along to the end of Da Vinci Avenue, it's 1400 Da Vinci Avenue. If you make your way there, as soon as you're able to, as a group, you'll be most welcome in his home. Do you have any questions?
No.
That's easy then. My job.
Timber will just ask, can I get some more chicken?
Absolutely, yes. I tell you what, on my way out back to my employer, I'll make sure that some new chicken is brought up for you.
Thank you.
A fairy.
Hmm. A what?
And another fairy.
Well, you've had one. I mean, they do recommend that one is usually enough.
Timber is just going to slide his over to her.
And I just like let it slide. And I just like slowly look more delighted.
Timber sounds happy.
I think Timber's talking to us. Wow. Okay, yep. So Timber slides his fairy over to you. That's fine. And Wilkins puts his hat on and doffs it for you, and he disappears. And a few moments later, the tall human waiter comes in and puts another couple of roast chickens on the table and is prepared to take any more drink orders as you wish.
I'm good with my cream. I'll swap my cream with Anais's milk.
Yeah, we'll just casually just swap.
Yeah. Or the milk, cream with milk, yeah.
So you're mixing your drinks. Is what I'm okay. No, that's fine. So you obviously, as a group, you're eating and you're drinking. This is the first time you've been together in a few days, let's say. You do all know each other. You've been in the city now for at least a couple of months. For most of you, it's been longer. Feel free to kind of have a conversation or discuss what's about to happen before we move on. Or not.
I just want to know, what was in this invite letter we received?
To meet at Le Favre at 7 p.m. It's on the corner of Edison and Voltaire.
No further information?
Signed, a friend.
Well, I suggest we discuss what time we shall meet up at Professor, what was his name?
Langstrom.
Langstrom's
residence. What time is it currently?
Let's say it's now getting on to about 7:45.
And so where are you there and how long?
Whenever you wish to get there.
There is no time restraints, but I think the ladies may have to go to bed soon.
Well, I see food and alcohol before us. I say we enjoy what has been given to us as it is paid for. No need to rush.
And this chicken is quite good.
And that too.
Besides, it's rude of a gentleman to just summarily summon people at will. I say we make him wait.
So what time would you suggest a nice?
Well, I follow the ruling of voice of reason. I say we demolish what is left to us. They've offered it. Will we use it?
Let's eat.
Gregor adds that, you know, this is a good idea, but let us not leave the gentleman waiting. He's asked for us specifically. It is rude to then make him wait too long.
And it's rude not to eat the food offered.
I agree. And to drink.
So we eat, we drink, and then we make our way to Professor Lambert's house.
Eventually.
Thanks, Strom. Sorry.
Eventually, but not too long, you know. And like you said, Iqbal, you know, the ladies need their beauty sleep, so we must not give them up too late.
For yourself.
Are we getting up early?
Well, you surely must have jobs to do. Before you go to work, you clean house, you do cooking, you prepare clothes for house.
Mm-hmm. You have jobs to do. Discuss this, not everybody has that role in the society, my pet.
You discuss it, but it still not seem real.
Would you like a scritch on the ear?
Yes, I always love scritch on the ear.
I'm going to reach up and scratch him.
He smiles.
He's a friend. We've done this before.
He smiles and he doesn't say anything further to inflame the situation. So unless you have any objections, I will proceed the adventure.
I fill another huge like piling plate, bring it over to myself and put it between myself and Timber to like just share food.
Yep.
Timber probably eats more of that.
And he's trying really hard to be like delicate and polite because everything's all fancy, but he's just very awkward with his paws.
I'm not trying at all. I'm just like handballing it straight to.
And I suspect Wookiee is one of those kind of people that have big pockets to put food in when they go places.
She hadn't thought of that.
She has now.
Someone mentioned it to her. She would think that's a fair idea.
Yeah. Gregor says, like babushka, you can put it in cloak and hold it around front.
And she has one hell of a cloak. Like, it's huge.
Yeah, plenty of food for space. Oh, no, I don't know it. No, plenty of space for food. Excellent. And Gregor at some point would have pointed out that somebody had to read the letter to him because he does not read.
I would very willingly read the letter, and you see where at the bottom where it says your friend or something you mentioned before, yeah. I have drawn love hearts around the word friend.
Oh, cute. Nice. What did you use to write the love hearts with?
I'm sure that I would have had like some kind of like charcoal or something like that.
Okay.
That I would carry with me.
It's just a piece of stray charcoal in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, no, I've got, like, this bag of things for divination, and I'm sure that I would have had, like, a piece of charcoal or something along those lines in there.
Okay, so the drinks have been drank, and the food has been feeded. And for those who wish to stuff their pockets and cloaks full of food, you have done so. It's now about 9 o'clock at Le Favre. The streets outside are still quite busy. The streets are gaslit in this part of town, so it's still quite a commercial district. The shops have shut, however, there are other taverns and eateries and other places. However, You're aware that it's 9 o'clock. There's a big clock just over at the National Institute of Science that says it's 9 o'clock. And you need to be heading up Da Vinci Avenue. Unfortunately, there's no trolley bus that goes that way. So it looks like Shanks' pony is the best way to get there. If I have to explain what Shanks' pony is.
Is it like an open top carriage drawn by a horse?
No, it's your legs.
It's a drunken stumble to this gentleman's house.
Oh, you're drunk? Let's do it. You can do a constitution saving roll then, please.
No.
Oh, no, you've said it now, so you're going to do it.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah.
Well, I just rolled a 15.
Okay, you're all right. You feel the buzz. You feel a beer buzz with a little fairy sitting on top. And
cool.
I know. I'm going to come back to Wookiee as well because you had more than one fairy. So
yeah, would I have successfully decanted some of the fairy drinks that I had continuously ordered into like a flask?
Sure, why not?
Just casually pouring them into her pocket.
Some yeah. for me, some for you.
So how many did you actually drink at the time?
How many do you think I would have gotten away with ordering?
It was an open tab, so you tell me.
Oh, wow, okay. Timber, at some point, would you have stopped me?
No.
Hey.
No. Liking man, they drink. He would have just gone, okay, I don't like the smell of this drink. You can have it. Oh, look at her go.
Like, I was brought up around a lot of drinking. So to me, I'm just like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I agree with that.
So how long had I been there?
So you'd been about a couple of hours by the time you left.
Oh, yeah. Let's say I would have probably had one every half an hour and then would have tried to decant her another two into my my hip flask.
All right, so you definitely drunk four then?
Yep.
Cool. So roll me a constitution saving throw with disadvantage.
Okay.
For those playing at home, disadvantage is rolling twice and picking the lowest.
Thank you, Iqbal. Excellent.
Oh, wow. Because I'm a dwarf and I am into poison, would that include liquor?
It would probably be okay for liquor, but that's on the assumption that it's liquor I'm talking about.
Oh,
there you go. So okay. What was the numbers? Let's hear your numbers. I'm a numbers guy.
Oh, my numbers would impress everybody. I got a 3 and a 4 on the roll. And my constitution is 17.
Did you say a crit?
Okay.
You rolled a 1.
No,
a 3 and a 4.
Three and a four.
So, either way,
it was going to be bad.
Yeah. So just prepare. I'm just about to send you a private message.
Right. There's me thinking as a dwarf, nothing would affect me. And
that is clearly a dwarf thinking.
Puppy! Sorry, time out. Dogs are going crazy.
That's all right.
I had that before. That will set mine off was a giant moth trying to break through the window, like this big.
All right. So that's that's a secret text I've sent to Secretsville.
I am delighted. I am truly delighted and giggling a little.
Absolutely you are.
And waving my hands in the air.
Yep. And obviously you guys all see this. It's been, I don't think you, as long as you've known Wookiee, she's probably not ever acted like this. It's unusual. It's uncharacteristic. So.
Oh, I wouldn't say go as far as that. I am acting weird.
All right.
But on the of the tone in which my life is led.
Okay. No, that's cool. So you're outside the Fae Fair, and what are you going to do, guys?
I am going to poke Wookiee to see if she falls over.
I just continue giggling, but a bit louder.
Yeah, she doesn't fall over, apparently.
How Greg, close do you think you could sling her over your shoulder?
How close are you to me?
Hey,
when you poke me.
Right next to you, because how can you poke someone 20 feet away?
From 20 foot away.
Because I would, like, my reaction would be to hug you.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. I'm just looking down at Mr. Worf hugging me. I'm like, not again.
Wave a little bit and then let go and then continue walking.
Okay, cool. Well, so you're gonna walk to Professor Langstrom's house?
Yeah.
Yes, but then you have to get some of the alcohol out of her system.
As I say, you can roll an investigation if you wish.
Might as well. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's a game of dice after all.
Right.
Iqbo doesn't care enough to roll.
No. That's a good one. I like it. I like it already.
3.
Yeah, she's a regular booze hound as far as you're concerned. It's all booze.
But like, I'm strangely fascinated with, like, you know, you think it's your hair or something, and like, you know, I just like wave my hand above you.
Yeah.
But then how do you reach above me?
You to like.
No,
like,
she's reaching up to you.
Oh. Hey.
Yeah.
For a second there, I thought you meant like you were reaching above me. I'm like, that's a neat trick for a dwarf.
She's
floating.
Like, fascinated, and you think, like, you know, I'm enraptured by your hair or something along those lines.
It is glorious hair, I'm not going to lie. Well, not this, obviously.
Okay,
the glorious hair of an ice.
So whilst Wookiee is flapping her hands
and
in
then,
front of
and then coat, just, like, I turn around and say, so pretty.
Oh. you walk up, Da Vinci. There's a very slight drizzle in the air. It's not particularly cold, but it's not warm either. The streets are cobbled. There are lampposts evenly dotted, so it's quite well lit. There's a few people about. It's a fairly main part of the city, so there doesn't appear to be many ne'er-do-wells dwelling in that area. You see a couple of police officers. They walk past you and they kind of put their truncheons up to their helmets and say, "Evening."
I bow deeply.
Freaking weirdos.
All over in the attempt.
No, probably not.
Okay.
So unless you demand an interaction with the police officers, I can certainly arrange that. But they're just
a polite nod and keep walking.
Yeah, yep. they're on patrol. And after about 10 minutes, you reach the gates of 1400 Da Vinci Avenue. It's a walled, it's quite a large wall, and there's a nice wrought iron gate in front of you that says Langstrom in big wrought iron letters. And you
I
can
think
see
this
that
is it.
Could be. It's a bit of a clue. Yeah, I won't get you to roll investigation in case you fail.
Very observant, Iqbal.
I'm going to anyway.
Yeah, go on then.
That's a 12.
Yeah, you think it's the right place. Yeah. So the gates are closed, but they don't appear locked. There's a gas lamp on each pillar where the gates are fixed, and you can see that there's a driveway leading up to a grand house, and there's trees along. It looks a very very swanky kind of place, to be honest. So you're there. What do you do?
I'm going to remark that academia clearly pays well in the city.
I just go up and knock.
You're going to walk up the driveway?
Yeah.
Or you can knock on the gate.
Yeah. Is there a nice garden? Does it have a garden?
Yeah, there's lawns and there's appears to be roses.
Just the rude ask.
I admire the flowers.
I mean, it's dark, but, you know, and it's raining, but, you know, it's nice for what you see.
See money.
Yeah. You don't see any of that. You
just the gates are shut, yes?
Would there be, like, lamp, torch lights around the garden, or would they not bother with that?
No, it's a waste of gas, and it's very difficult to pipe the gas to different parts of the garden. The gates are kind of pushed to, but you can see all you have to do is just push to open.
Okay.
Cool. You walk up to the main door?
I do.
Everyone?
Is there anything odd or amiss in the garden? Like, is there anything that makes us suspicious about his wealth or anything like that?
I don't know. You'll have to define what you would consider suspicious.
Am I going to find him rather bourgeois?
Oh, crikey.
Is it like over-the-top compensating kind of rich? Like, I'm trying to impress you, or is it similar?
No, it appears to be roughly well-pitched.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm slightly behind, still admiring the roses, and I cast Druidcraft to make one of them bloom.
Do you wish to have a go? Have a go.
It's just a cantrip.
Yeah. As you do this, one of the rose bushes kind of just six or seven blooms just kind of open out, and they are good old-fashioned roses, so they have a lovely sweet scent to them.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kibo went up to the door and knocked, right?
Repeatedly now.
Repeatedly. Okay, yep. So hearing that sound, I run over and I just like knock with the enthusiasm of a child.
Okay. Eventually, Wilkins opens the door. He sees you guys and he says, oh, welcome. And he kind of looks out and to his left and says, oh, is the pool bell not working? I should get that fixed. I assumed I'd fixed it already. I do apologize that you had to knock.
Had we noted?
Peasants.
Well, I'm literally going to whisper to Gregor, make sure you break that on the way in.
So Igbo just, as far as I know, Igbo just ran up and started knocking the door.
Yeah,
and
then I just ignored the bell. Ran up
and copied, so.
So yeah. Now that I see the bell, I pull the bell.
Roll me a d20.
Yeah.
She might just break that bell.
Bells work at all. I rolled a nat one. I really need to pick it.
Yeah, you pull it, but you don't. You've probably never come across this sort of bell. So you just basically pull it down about 4 or 5 inches and it goes ding dong. You just put it, assuming that you have to put it all the way. And there's this kind of crunch noise and the pull chain just falls down at your feet. And
Gregor, go, never mind.
And instantly Wilkin just pales. So, oh my goodness, I never realized it was so broken. Oh, if you could just hand it to me.
Broken.
Yeah, goodness me. And he clicks the chain and the pull handle and he says, oh, but anyway, please come in. Please come in. There's filthy weather. And he opens the double doors so you can walk in.
I brush my feet and enter.
Yes, there's a lovely rug. There's a lovely doormat, sorry, that's got the... what are doormats made of that you wipe your feet on?
Bristly things.
Yeah, there's bristly things. There's hedgehogs. There's a whole carpet made of hedgehogs and you can just wipe your feet and that's fine.
I feel the druid's going to have an issue with this.
Oh, so okay, they were dead. No, it's just one of those rough kind of natural material kind of... Yeah. I want to say coconut husk, but it's clearly not. If anyone wants to comment on Facebook and say what are actual doormats made of, I don't know. Same stuff that brooms are made of.
And it's coconut husk now.
It is. It's a coconut. It's very extravagant because coconuts are not native to Edisonia. So it's a coconut husk doormat, which you wipe your wet feet on. And
well, I think we've got enough money to be able to organize to have one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it certainly appears that way.
Mm. Sorry, because I'm a nerd and I wanted to know, I Googled it's made from palm fibers.
Coconut palms.
Pretty that's close.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said, almost. I'm going to roll for deception on that. It was a lot closer than hedgehogs, anyway. So you walk inside, he closes the door behind you, and he just carefully places the broken pool chain on one of the little tables by the front door. And he says, if you'd like to, I will show you through to Professor Langstrong's workshop, if you'd just like to follow me.
Lead the way, sir.
Yep, that's right. And you follow him through. It's a very nice house. There's a nice kind of foyer area with a sweeping staircase that goes up. It's a polished wooden floor. There's lots of natural materials, probably just from recently murdered trees. And he takes you through to the east wing of the house and through some rather plainer looking doors. And it's like a... It's like a cloakroom, I suppose. It's pretty plain compared with everything else you've seen. And Wilkins says, well, if you'd just like to remove your jackets and your overcoats. And we have, and he points to some kind of rather beigey colored, like lab coat kind of dust coats. He says, if you'd like to put these on, I think they'd be more appropriate for you.
How intriguing. I go and grab one straight off the thing.
Why?
Yes.
You don't have to. It's just better you don't get your nice clothes dirty, but maybe it doesn't really count for you anyway. So
very nicely. Trust me when I say there are often some odd materials and chemicals in these sorts of places.
I'm sure I've got a child's one that you can wear, Mr. Rickvosa.
Thank you.
And he pulls out this really cute little one with a little duck on it. A cute little fluffy duck on its left breast. And it's like,
is it yellow? They're always yellow.
It's kind of just a slightly darker beige. It's almost a brown color, and it's got my first lab coat embroidered in it.
I hand him my overcoat and put on the lab coat.
Yep, and you notice rather annoyingly that he places your coat on one of the coat hooks that's like adult size, so there's no way you'd get it.
Take off my hooded scarf and hang it up and take one of the coats.
Wookie, you're still affected as previously mentioned. Mm-hmm. And you've also, I'm wondering, that your outer garment is full of food, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering how you're going to play out this little scenario of taking your cloak off. And also, you're still affected, as previously mentioned.
Now, are we just hanging them on like, normal coat hooks? Okay. Because my jacket is extraordinarily heavy.
With food.
But that's fine if you want.
The jacket itself is very heavy and then bladed with food.
Okay, and are you hanging it up?
Well, first I'm going to ask if there's another ducky coat, because that would be my preference.
He says, well, I have something similar. It doesn't quite have the duck on it, though. It's got like a chimpanzee, like a funny monkey.
I'll have that one.
Cool.
It looks like her.
So I take off this like coat, and the size of this coat, when I take it off, it's about the size, like practically my size. So like suddenly there's half of me, because this is a tremendously large coat. And then I put it on the hook and you just hear the hook bend.
Yeah. And then everyone hears it snap and it falls out the wall. Oh goodness. I never realized that everything was kind of feeling so broken. No, don't worry about it.
That's okay. I pet the coat, my cloak, and I'm like, stay here and put on the other jacket.
Yep. No, that's fine. You put on the jacket and it's got, you put it on and it's got the little kind of monkey on the left breast. But what you don't see is on the back, it says, I'm a cheeky monkey.
I pet the like little monkey face, like delightedly, and then continue on.
And it talks back to you, saying, oh, you're pretty cute too.
Thank you.
I presume we don't hear this conversation.
We just hear it. No. Thank you.
You just, as far as you know, you just hear Wookiee talking to the picture of a monkey. Yeah.
I'm but apologizing to the host, saying, sorry for this one's breaking everything.
Oh, that's okay. You know, she's a dwarf. It's fine. We have insurance for dwarves in the house.
This just all goes. My head completely.
Absolutely. You have no idea what they're talking about. And as you, once you put your lab coats on, the doors, not the ones you came through, but the ones leading out of the room, they open, and a tall, elderly human walks out. He looks probably in his mid to late 70s. He's a white beard and moustache and glasses. He's very handsome, in fact, with his glasses and beard. And he's got like a smoking jacket on, for those who've seen, like a velvet smoking jacket, velvet and silk. And he's got a smoking cap on as well, with a little tassel down the side. He says, oh, but my friends, thank you for coming at such short notice.
Are you Professor Langstrom?
I am, yes. And you must be Sickbo.
I put my hand out and shake his hand.
Welcome, Sickbo. You're very welcome in my house.
Did you change your name, Ickbo?
I have not.
His name is Sickbo.
Yes.
Never mind. Don't worry. Your Song of the River and your Carswell Dawn or something. You're Aniseed.
Wookiee.
And yes, you are definitely a noise assuredly. Yes, the Wookiee dwarf. That's right. And we've got now you're the wolf. You're wood.
I can work with wood.
Wood. That's fine. Wood. I remember that because it's like woof. And
he's very good at working with wood. If you want some of their work, you can find it at Raven's Antiques.
Oh, thank you. Wilkins, make sure you take the young lady's details at the end. I'm always in the market for wood. Would you like to come through to my laboratory?
Don't forget Gregor. He's here too.
Yeah. Welcome, Gregor. Oh, thank you, Professor. Thank you, Song, for reminding the professor that I'm here. I'm only 7 foot tall, and no, I'm a strong, silent type, which suits the GM just fine. you proceed through the doors to a laboratory, and I'm not going to make any assumptions about what kind of scientific background you guys have. I can tell you that Gregor doesn't really have much of a background, or if he has, he wouldn't remember.
I've seen these machines before. I probably don't know what they do, but I'm not a stranger to labs.
Okay, yep, cool. And I'm going to assume everyone else is kind of moderate to low knowledge about the inner workings of a lab.
Frown at everything.
I might have seen the parts individually, but not our whole collective.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't say I've been in one myself.
Okay, well, please feel to come into mine. And he shows you, and there's like lots of there's like benches, and there's glass bottles, there's bottles filled with all various kinds of liquids, but there's not too much of that. It's mostly there's lots of steel and copper, and the room has this kind of I suppose this kind of smell that reminds you of being near the sea, kind of a bit kind of salty, ozone-y. And some of you may notice, actually two of you will definitely notice, actually three of me will definitely notice, that the hairs start to kind of prick up on the back of your entire bodies, if you're a tabaxi, wolf, or bear. The others may feel, actually kobolds don't really have hair, do they?
Nope.
So you don't really feel anything.
I am saying to Wookiee and pointing at one of the liquids, saying, you should try that one, it's delicious.
Does anybody stop me? Yeah, I've got a rather firm hold on your like shoulder. I go to like reach for it, but you know, I let you stop me. Pull back.
Yeah, and the professor comes over and says, "Oh no, you probably don't want that one. I'll just put this back in the shelf out of your."
Ah, come on, that could have been funny.
Oh, I'm not sure that acid is particularly much fun. But anyway, come. Let me tell you more about why I've called you here at such short notice. Now, I've heard amongst the general population that, you know, if it's a job that I need doing and it has to be done maybe under the scrutiny of the local authorities, that maybe you are the mob to do it. You certainly look like you could all be criminals. So I think I've chosen quite well. But look, let me introduce myself. My name is Emmett Langstrom. You can call me Emmett. You don't have to worry about Professor or anything like that. And I have been working for many years on the advancement of science. And you may look around some of this equipment about, you know, all the excitement about the latest discoveries in electricity. Now, people say it will come and go, but I'm not so sure. I think there's definitely a future in electricity. So what I need you to do is just get me some equipment, really. That's all. Just some equipment, and then maybe a sub quest. Let's call it a quest. So here's the terms and conditions, which I think Wilkins may have indicated earlier. If you can bring me what I'm seeking, then I will pay you the sum of 1,000 marks.
And he pauses,
for dramatic effect.
Is that a lot?
It is not much. I can take your share.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, let me elaborate. I'm talking about 1,000 marks per person.
Yes, that's what...
That is a lot.
And Wolf's ears just kind of like perk up a bit. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Do you have a tail?
And if so, does it wag slightly?
It was wagging earlier when I was like looking on everything. You get like the floppy ear, like doggy, like head tilt, looking at everything. A couple of little, that smells like shit.
And would you also be able to let us know more about this electricity?
Well, once I've told you what it is I need you to do, I can certainly give you a demonstration.
Thank you. Look at the equipment
Would we have had electricity before?
You've come across some very primitive, like incandescent light bulbs, which seem quite inferior to the gas light lamps, as far as you're concerned.
Would we know about static electricity?
I'm guessing not, because static doesn't really have much of a use at all, as far as science is concerned at this point.
So us fair folk are pretty much just like puffed out right now because
you're definitely feeling a bit odd. and you notice as you look at your arms, they do look a bit more puffy than usual from where the fur is. And he says,
Ember's a fluffy boy right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So he takes you over to one of his large tables. And on the table, there's a quite large metal chest. It seems to be made of lead as opposed to steel or copper or any other regular kind of metal. It seems to be made of lead. And he takes a small key out of his smoking jacket, and he puts it in the padlock at the front, and he takes it off, and he lifts up the lid with it's quite heavy, and he says to Gregor, "Oh, can you just take the other side?" And Gregor says, "Oh, of course I can." And between me and me, we lift the lid up like that. He says, "Oh, thank you. Gregor, would you be able to just extricate the item that's in the chest?" And, oh, yes, of course, that is no problem. And he lifts out, because he's a strong bear, he lifts out this large suit, and he lays it, under instruction from the professor, he lays it on the table. And it's about 46 foot from boot to collar. It's all kind of one piece. It seems to be made from a very heavy, like, canvas material. At the end of the arm, there are gloves, which look like they're made out of vulcanized rubber. And at the bottom, there are boots that just seem to be made also out of rubber with thick rubber soles. But it's completely flat. And he says, and Langstrom says, so let me just explain. What you see before you is at the very forefront of scientific research. And I've been trying for a number of months and years, in fact, to convince the National Institute of Science, of which I was a former fellow, to fund some research into some what will clearly be a life-changing series of experiments. However, they threw me out. I'm no longer allowed in the Institute because they call me a quack. Can you believe that? A quack. And at this point, Wookie, you notice that the duck that's on Iqbo's little kind of jacket starts quacking at you.
I just start clapping.
And what are you kind of looking really intently at it, or kind of describe the scene?
It would just start quacking, and I just would think it's cute. And I'd start clapping, but not so loud that, like, I would feel like I'm interrupting him. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, if someone's intoxicated, they don't necessarily pick up on necessary social graces while someone's talking.
No. Or volume of voice. I'm
reasonable, no. Clearly not.
So Langstrom seemed slightly disconcerted that you started clapping when you talked about being expelled from the Institute of Science. And he looks to the others, and he looks at Anais and said, Is she always like that? It's a bit off-putting, I have to say.
You have best jackets here. Can I get one of
yours? Is it possible to put my hand over her mouth?
You can certainly try. You'll be a dex roll against an opposed dex roll.
At disadvantage.
While he's trying to sort of reach
her. Wookie's disadvantaged.
Okay, so
Wookiee would let this happen.
Okay.
But then he would also put her hand over his mouth. Like.
And if you want, if unless Iqbal is comfortable with this, he you can oppose the dexterity if you wish.
Oh, is that a separate roll?
Yeah.
It was 22 for the first one.
That's fine.
And 25 for the second one.
Yeah, he kind of flaps his hand away, your hand away from his mouth.
While this hand reaching is going on, I'm going to say small height does not agree with fairies.
I don't quite know what to make of that. Most fairies are quite short. But anyway, I'm going to move on because this is clearly distracting and they're doing their own thing. So that's fine. Yes, now this is a suit. This is the suit that got me expelled as a fellow from the National Institute of Science.
Now, how did it do that?
My hand is over your mouth. You can't speak.
The tip.
Yeah, so I suppose if I played the game right, I could just mute you now. That'd be awesome. Actually, I'm just going to do that. There we go. Until Iqbo says he's moved his hands, Wookiee's now muted. Although Wookiee still thinks that she can be heard. Now, somebody asked me a question. I'm sorry, who was that?
Facebook feed's stuffed up, I think.
It says live.
Other than that, or it's my end.
Yeah, pay your bill. Still says we're live, so...
Continue.
Okay. Somebody asked me a question about being expelled. Oh, no, that was the... Yeah, it was the muffling noise. That confused me.
How did a suit get you expelled?
Well, it's not so much the suit, but it's the purpose of which I intend for it, which is cutting-edge science. It just ruffled a few feathers, in a figurative sense, you have to understand. I obviously, being a woman, you wouldn't understand much of science. But let me just say that ruffling feathers means that they don't actually have feathers on them. It's like an expression where they kind of get upset.
Mm.
Do you understand now?
And then call you a quack.
Well, yes, there's definitely an extended metaphor going on with ducks and quacks and feathers. I concede that. So what I'm trying to do is two things, and you are critical for both. But I won't tell you I won't tell you the second part. I will tell you the first part for now. If that's successful, I will definitely tell you about the second. So the first thing is, and he points, there's a copper box on the front of the heavy material suit, and he opens up a little compartment, and it's empty. He says, this suit needs quite a lot of power. And within this suit, there needs to be a small file of a metallic substance. When I was working, when I had a laboratory at the Institute of Science, I had it kept there because I was expelled and they confiscated some of my equipment. I was lucky to leave with the suit. However, they took this critical component. So I do need that to be liberated from the National Institute of Science, if that's what I'm asking you to do.
Unknowingly to them?
Well, I think that's kind of implied by the fact I'm hiring you and paying you 1,000 marks each to do it.
And what is this piece you wish us to acquire?
At
this point, I'm also dropping my hand from her mouth. Okay.
Oh, hold on, I better do this one. Hold on. There we go. So, yes, there's a metallic cylinder that fits in this here, and it was originally labeled XP0. So I would wish you to go to the National Institute of Science and retrieve XP0.
XP0, a small cylinder from whereabouts? Do you have a layout of this place, this institution?
It's a bit difficult to explain because women aren't allowed in there, so...
Well, we'll be going in there, so...
Yes.
Some of us will be.
Well, that we are resourceful, sir. Tell us where it is.
Well, now, and here's the rub. I'm not entirely sure. It's a big place,
and it's
a big place, and it's been a few months since I was last there. So, It will either be in my lab, or it may be in the basement, in the vaults, where they keep unnecessary equipment. I just don't know.
That's fine. Leave that to us.
I'm sure amongst you there must be some keen, sharp, intelligent, maybe not the bear, but some sharp, keen minds that can investigate. You do have investigation skills, I presume.
Of course.
Good. I'm glad. Otherwise, this whole evening would have been a waste of time.
I take it as he makes this comment about our intelligence, that he looks from one to the next and, like, you know, is a bit, starts to get concerned about who he has selected to some degree.
Yeah, he kind of starts with who he assumes is the most intelligent, which he assumes is an ace.
Are you sure? Because she's a woman.
Well, yes. Now hold on, young lady. Intelligence isn't just restricted to the male or the female brain. What we find in science is that although there seems to be a barrier of communication between the female brain and the rest of the body and the mouth, so it's not that the intelligence isn't there, it's just that women don't seem to be able to express themselves very well. Mm-hmm. But it's natural you made that mistake because, well, as I've just mentioned, you are female. And so I see an ace as probably being the most intelligent. And then in no particular order, although absolutely and definitely descending order, probably yourself, Song of the River. You've probably got a mind somewhere. Then I'm thinking, I think Timber probably has a keen mind, being of slightly lupine extraction. And then it starts to get a bit kind of foggy, where Carswell, Lani, and Igbo are kind of fighting in a rather intellectually sexy three-way for who's the least intelligent. And my friend Gregor, well, you know, I've heard that he is very good. He is very, not charismatic, what's the word? Hairy. He's very hairy, and he's there. He's strong, and he's holding up the rest of the group. Oh, yes, I think that is a fair reflection. Thank you. So intelligence isn't everything, but in most ways, it's exactly everything. So some of this will require intelligence. Some of this may require strength and dexterity. And look, for those of you, and I don't think any of you would have been inside the Institute, apart from the small museum at the front, there are guards there. There are obviously people, academics such as myself, although not quite so good as me. They're working there in their own private laboratories. There's a library there. So the idea is to kind of, yes, Carwell, you're pointing at me. No, that's fine. That's fine. It's normally when people put their fingers this front in my face. No, that's fine.
How late do they work in their laboratories?
Oh, well, that depends on the individual. Some will work all through the night. Some will rarely wake up until midday. It really depends on the individual. Now, the Institute itself is open from 9 to 4.
Past closing hours.
What about the areas we may need to access? Would there be possibly anyone there?
Well, as I say, there's security guards and patrols, and yes. There's a lot of valuable things inside that building, including the museum. It's a very, I would say yes. There's likely to be people if you're not careful. Yes. Stunned into silence.
Conversation is going on, can I roll investigation to see what I can deduce from the suit itself? Like, what kind of condition it's in? Can I see what it's for? I'm trying to guess.
You can roll with advantage because he's already given you a pretty good description. You can get as close to it as you like. So,
all right, cool.
So advantage is when you roll 2d20s and take the higher number. Hey! Me, D&D Facts. Master.
Without the stuff I add on top, it's 19. So that's 19, 23.
23. Yeah, that's good. So ask me some questions about what you want to know about it.
All right. The arm pieces, does it look like it's got gloves or does it have accessories on it?
It seems that the gloves are kind of built onto the ends of the sleeve, so there's no actual gap.
Okay. Does it have any wiring or obtrusions that would, I know it's probably, it needs electricity, but mm-hmm. does it look like it would be, this is going to sound dumb, but would it shoot electricity or something like that?
There's no external wiring that you can see. The only thing that seems odd about the suit, apart from its unusual construction in terms of being a very much a one piece, is the copper box that's on the front chest.
Okay. He hasn't indicated what the suit's actually for, has he?
No, he hasn't. He just says what he needs for it to begin with.
Okay.
Can I do an insight check on this man?
Of course you can.
Nine.
Yeah, he seems absolutely legit to you.
Can we buy a passive insight? Can I just deduce if he's lying, or would you like me to roll for it?
What's passive insight?
Just, it's like passive perception, just like general knowledge.
What's your passive perception?
Does he give him the willies?
Passive perception's 22.
He seems a bit eccentric, and he seems to be hiding something, but he was pretty open about hiding something from you anyway, but the fact he hasn't told you everything. So apart from those couple of things, he seems pretty square, to be honest. He seems pretty legit.
Yep.
Given that Anais's job is to acquire stuff for her lord, I guess, would she have heard of this guy before? Like, is he known, either infamous or normal?
Roll me history.
Ooh, interesting.
It's because I'm making it up as I go along.
That's a good pick.
19.
19?
Yeah, total.
Yep. That's all right, yeah. I think the wider world, maybe not so much because he's a very academic person, but for those in certain circles, Professor Langstrom would have been heard of. Before his expulsion from the National Institute, he was a respected scientist in his field, and his pursuit of electricity and its advancement, counter to the general feeling of the culture at the time, is well known. So he would have been appearing in, some of the bigger newspapers, in small articles, maybe. Yeah.
Like scientific journals.
Definitely scientific journals.
I would have just one more question for you.
Yes.
Do you mean harm with this suit?
Do I mean harm? Well, absolutely not, dear sir. This is about scientific pursuit.
Okay, so scientific pursuit, what does this suit do?
I think I did mention earlier that I'm going to tell you the first part, which I duly did, and then once, and if that's successful, then I would go on to the second part. I can't give you all this knowledge on the basis if you fail and we you won't. Start to get questioned. Yeah. It's what I've written. I've actually written a paper about this somewhere. It's called something called the deniability of plausibleness. Yes. The more you know, the more you might be in danger.
I'd say that's a reasonable outcome. And if we do not succeed, or if we do succeed and you do not hold true to your word, we can always return the item or destroy it.
That's definitely one interpretation of what I've said. No, look, I mean, when you leave here tonight, I will give you half the payment each up front. You'll have 500 marks in your dirty hands to do with as you wish. Yes, your hands are pretty clean. I feel I shouldn't have to explain this, but given the kind of femininity of the audience, it's an expression to get one's hands dirty and to spend your money on dirty things. It doesn't mean dirt.
Do we have a time frame for this task?
As soon as possible. Is that a good time frame?
Let's do it tonight.
I wish for surveiling the place, but the coat,
because like my brain is just thinking about how my hands may be dirty now because he's like,
I think you'd definitely be brushing your hands quite vigorously right now.
While I'm keen to get this done and get the remainder of our money, some of us are not quite all what's the word?
I don't know. You know,
inebriated.
The word. Sober. What? Sorry, say that again.
Sober.
Sober. Oh yes, yes.
Shall we maybe look at doing this tomorrow night?
Why don't we do some reconnaissance first?
True, that'd be good.
And away from our host here, who's probably got better things to do than listen to us plan our heist.
Oh, I don't know. I find you all rather entertaining, as a matter of
fact. More importantly, none of us—we're not exactly appropriately dressed for this situation.
Well, I have to say, I do have to say, my good lady, for a woman, you are absolutely appropriately dressed in my eyes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can we keep the lab coats?
Well, I'd rather you left them here in case I have other small children coming to view my experiments.
Yeah, we can bring it back, but
we'll get some made for you. It's okay.
Yeah, I'd rather you left it here, actually.
What was the name of this institution?
The National Institute of Science. Kind of stepping slightly outside of Professor Langstrom, it would have been diagonally opposite the Green Fairy. Let me just...
Being in town for a while, we would know where the location is.
Oh, yeah, it's very central. Let me just... you can see... it's there. Okay. So you were there, and obviously Professor Langstrom is up here, and so it's pretty much the largest building in the center of the city.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the name of this bio we're going to find?
XP0
actually, yes.
Oh, zero.
O is a letter, zero is a number.
Zero. Yeah. It's hard to tell when you write it down. Zero.
Zero. Yeah.
Well, thank you, good sir.
Well, thank you for your time and coming here. Now, as you leave, once you hand your lab coats back, you will be given the 500 marks. He looks at Wookie particularly. You will get your money on the way out. And I bid you a good evening, and I will show... I say, Gregor, can you place the suit carefully back into the chest? Oh, yes, of course, Professor. And he folds it up nicely and lifts it, and then he puts the lid back down. I will leave you for the lock and the chains. I think you better that. So Gregor is the first to walk out, and he his coat was slightly too small, so it's a bit kind of, yeah, it looks like a large teddy in a small shirt.
Aww.
I know.
Hey, Yogi, wait for Boo Boo.
Rangers move. So he puts it, and he gets a wad of paper money in his paw, and he puts it into it inside his flannel shirt jacket. So, yeah. And the rest of you, you can...
Yeah, Ekbo will leave, and he'll just look up at the coat rack and wait for someone to come next.
Yeah, I come over and, like, you know, give him his coat.
I debate whether a dwarf can reach as well.
Yeah, you can't.
You're both on the same height.
Oh, what
Timber
what
would probably be nearby, so he'll just probably just pick up and hand.
Yeah,
us all the coats.
I probably would have been like jumping, trying to like push it off the hook.
Yeah,
Timber will just come up and grab them, and bring them down for you.
Thank you, good sir.
I'll hang on my lab coat and put my...
So in the most astounding roleplay ever committed to screen, you get your coats and you are invited now to... You've all had your 500 marks and you are invited to leave the building.
I wait for everyone else to leave and then I go back, so unless someone else is delaying.
Well, I'm putting my coat on and then patting the monkey goodbye. But I don't like necessarily linger.
Okay. Is it a monkey?
The monkey.
Monkey.
Oh, sorry. I was shuffling at that point.
Yeah. And it, I finally like, you know, see the writing on the back of the coat and laugh.
just
I'm going to make my way out, but I'm going to inquire as to if anybody else is staying in town as opposed to living in town.
No, everyone is at the point where they all live in the city now.
Okay. Yeah. So would Boss Man have a house there, or am I going to a hotel?
How long have you been in town?
I mean, for this meeting, we actually live in Voltaire. Oh, no, I lie. I'm there to pick up my parasol, which I'm carrying, so I already have a hotel.
I mean, well, okay. If not, Gregor offers, there's room on the floor where he lives, so.
Okay.
So I got to go back inside.
Yeah.
And just be like, there's only 490 marks here. You missed out on 10. You're 10 short, sir.
Really? Are you rolling? Are you deceiving him? Or
I'm trying to.
Roll deception.
11.
Wilkins, because it's Wilkins that you go back to. He says, well, "I'm pretty sure that. I counted it out myself. I think you need to count again."
I shall do that. I recount. Oh no, my mistake. I forgot to carry the one.
Or the 10, one would assume, but no matter.
My apologies, sir.
No worries. Obviously, if you good night.
Good night, and I walk out the door.
You hear that there's about 6 different locks clicks on the door on the way out.
Once we're all outside, when shall we meet tomorrow?
Iqbal will arrive back when he wishes. Good night, and I walk off to my house.
Shall we meet back at the tavern tomorrow? Same time, 8.
Will we be welcome there without an invitation?
I think
that is unlikely. I mean, you know, maybe men, maybe, but ladies are, not.
Okay. Famous. Well, is there, what's a good place to meet up then?
More lowly tavern?
Look, there's other regular taverns where women are almost treated up to the rate of second class.
Otherwise, we could just meet up at the museum, but at what time?
It opens at 9.
During the day?
It opens at 9. Let's walk her through. I'd like to see the museum.
The museum part. Okay. At 9 at the museum in the morning.
Aren't there like gardens or something like around the building?
Yeah.
So it's theoretically quite a garden and just look like picnickers.
Is it the type of museum that just allows patrons to walk through?
Is it gated?
It's like a regular museum where you go in through an entrance and then you, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, just be patrons for the day and learn the layout of where everything is.
That's a good idea, Iqbal.
Bye.
In the morning, then. And I'll walk up in the direction.
So you will retire to your appropriate lodgings?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cool.